Here you leave today and enter the world of Hilt Radio.
Oh my gosh, that intro was so short, I bet you didn't even expect me to start talking yet. But it's me, I have returned. Your host, Liam DeCosimo, joined by my effervescent wife, Brittany. Brittany, how you doing, babe?
Oh, I'm good. You know, just hanging out with the kids like usual.
Yeah,
pretty And then much. My husband decided to pull me away and say, hey, it's almost been a year since we last recorded. Get your butt over here.
You want to know what the last episode that came out?
I already know.
You looked?
No, but is it the Encanto episode?
Yeah, it was the Encanto episode, and it was literally December 31st, 2021.
No.
It was a New Year's episode. Yeah, I pulled it up on
I thought that was
Apple
in
Podcast.
March.
No.
Are
no.
you sure?
Yeah, so this one was released.
I don't remember Encanto coming out that early. I thought it came out in March.
No, it was like November or December of last year. Yeah, so check it out. So this was published
Weird.
December 31st, 2021, and in the episode, we even talk about that Encanto, if you haven't seen it yet, go and see it, but it's available for free on Disney Plus. So it like just
it was released in theaters first, and then it was a few weeks later then they put it on Disney Plus because they realized nobody was going to the theater still.
Yeah, pretty much. But we also had talked about No Time to Die, West Side Story, and then Spider-Man No Way Home. So that was literally the last episode that we did. So today being November 21st, it is just a month and 10 days shy of a year since our last episode. But we kept saying we were going to sit down like on a Saturday morning or something and record, and just we've never really gotten the chance to.
Either
you're busy with the kids, I'm busy recording audiobooks, and it just we haven't been able to find the time.
Which is so weird because I feel like we have a lot of time where we just sit our butts on the couch and watch random shows. Like we just caught up on Great British Bake Off. We just started a new anime.
Yeah.
We're caught up on Spy Family. Like, I don't know. There's so many moments where you think we could just sneak away. But when you have two kids and especially a three-year-old, you just can't.
Oh, yeah. Right now it's a ticking time bomb until she wanders in over here. So
yeah. So expect to hear little Winnie's voice. Like in 5 minutes.
Yeah, you'll hear her feet minutes before you hear the voice because she is not a light walker as she steps. She has all the grace of like a hippo falling down the stairs.
Oh,
it's not from the size, just
hippos are so graceful. Have you ever seen them underwater?
Have you ever seen a Disney hippo dancing a ballet?
Exactly.
In
a tutu even.
Right? Tutus. I didn't know that tool could stretch that far. So.
Spandex can.
Yeah, it definitely can. So I felt like you and I had a mini episode last night talking about the Disney news Bob Iger being reinstated as the CEO of the Walt Disney Company, and Bob Chapek. Some reports saying he was fired, other reports saying he stepped down.
I think he stepped down, but I think that's also you were kind of forced to step down. I don't think he would have. I don't think he would have wanted to, at least. So not this early on. Like, I don't even know how long he was in the position for.
I mean,
since pandemic,
if I remember correctly, Bob Iger was supposed to step down. Pandemic hit. He extended it again to kind of help lead the way through the beginning parts of the pandemic because they didn't know how long it was going to be. Chapek came on before Marvel Land was unveiled.
Yes, because he was the little announcer,
the host, right? Yeah, essentially for the unveiling of that section
for
the park. Yeah, the christening. So I know he was in charge. Not a popular figure amongst the Disney fans. I think Bob Iger had his fans. He had some people that weren't, you know, the biggest fan of Bob. But Chapek was pretty universally disliked. I didn't see a lot of people that were like sad of him stepping down. Myself included. And it's not that I don't think he's a good person. I don't know him
personally. We don't know him personally, right?
But I was not a huge fan of the policy changes that he had with Disney, especially concerning like parks. And it looked like he didn't have a lot of faith in the animation. I feel like a lot of the animation to come out underneath Chapek's leadership was insufficiently backed from a media standpoint, from a marketing standpoint. Like when you think about like Lightyear, not really get a whole lot of backing. This Strange Worlds that's coming out,
nothing,
almost nothing.
No promotion for Strange World. I forgot about it, honestly, until probably a month ago.
Yeah.
When I was on a random Hulu commercial, I think. And what do you know? That is also a Disney entity. So that's why I came across it.
Well, and it was weird because I don't even, up until the more recent adverts for it, I didn't even know who the voice cast was.
Same.
Like, I didn't know Jake Gyllenhaal was the lead character in it.
Either.
You know?
I didn't really, we haven't been looking up on a lot of news. I know in the past, if you are, you know, a friend of the old show and have been here for a few years, we used to do news pretty heavy. We knew what was going on and we'd like to try to break some of the news. If not, we wanted to talk about the latest news with you guys. And lately we just kind of stepped back and it became overwhelming, I think, where it was like, oh, we need to know everything. It's like, I don't care. I just want to enjoy them as they come.
Yeah.
I'm tired of knowing spoilers and everything that's, you know, I just want to enjoy it like fresh.
Yeah.
Everything fresh. So we stopped looking into news. If it came across her feeds, I think on social media, then we'd talk about it. But other than that, we weren't searching for what's the next thing coming out from Disney. Yeah. You know?
I remember we used to sit there. This was it 2018 where we were doing like three shows a week? We were doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and we would have to look up like at least three topics for Monday's show and then three topics for Wednesday's show. And for some things, like Disney usually had a decent amount between like animation and the parks and live action. Marvel always had a good amount of news. Star Wars at the time was actually very laid back. Like it was.
Well, they were very tight lipped because Force Awakens was. I don't know if it had come out yet or had just come out.
We had done Force Awakens. I want to say Last Jedi had come out, but Rise of Skywalker hadn't come out yet. So.
And they were trying to keep everything quiet and they didn't want to give too much on what was coming in the pipeline because Disney Plus wasn't a thing then. Yeah. And little did we know we were going to get shows like Andor.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing. Yeah.
Which I think, like, you know, I don't want to pivot from the Bob Chapek, Bob Iger trade-off, if you will. But there has been, you know, with my, if I want to put this a nice way, I don't want to come off like a dick.
Oh, that's going to be so hard for you.
It is. I know. It's like my default setting. I know. My criticism of Chapek, there's been a lot of really good stuff that has come out. And, you know, some people were like, well, that was in the pipeline when Iger was still here. Mm-hmm. This wasn't like a Chapek led thing, or it's Marvel stuff. So you're leaving that up to Kevin Feige, but with the Star Wars stuff, like that's Kathleen Kennedy. Mm-hmm. So you have your studio heads that are kind of running the stuff.
Right.
I've got to say Marvel since pandemic whatnot has killed it with the Disney Plus shows. Like it is absolutely amazing. And Star Wars hit it big with Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. I would say fumbled a little bit with Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, but just wasn't Mandalorian.
No. And then when you now have pivot to Andor, this to me is hands down the best.
But I don't think we will get back to this though unless we get more Andor, because we are going into Ahsoka, right?
Yeah.
After this.
You've got Ahsoka and then you've got Mandalorian season three.
Which I think will be amazing, but it's not going to feel like Andor. That's for sure.
No.
Andor's, but I think that's what makes it special.
It does. But what I've always thought was really interesting is like Mandalorian to me felt like original trilogy. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Whereas Andor for me feels like Rogue One.
Dark,
the gritty that is Rogue One is just stretched out into what ultimately will be 18 episodes for this series.
So do we want to backtrack? Because I think we can get into Andor we'll and actually really deep discuss our feelings towards it.
Right. So I think backtracking, I mean, for us.
The big news. Let's talk about.
Yeah, this is the big news. And you and I were alive during the Michael Eisner leadership. I mean, that was the renaissance, right? Like this was I think for a lot of people our age, this was the introduction into the Disney pantheon. Bob Iger, for me, has done more under his tenure than like anybody since Walt Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have a return to Iger, even if it is a 2-year
contract, as of right now, it's only 2 years.
For me, that still leads us into where we want to be. And I think the reports were saying it allows him to train and cultivate and get and prepare the next CEO.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I think that was initially what he was supposed to be doing. And then it turned out that it was Chapek that was the one taking over, but nobody was proud of that. So it's like, do we believe that he really was the next one in the pipeline? Or was it more of a, we need somebody who's going to really pad our pocketbooks, you know?
And I think it was from all the reports I had seen, Chapek was more of a board selection than a Bob Iger selection.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't really like this was his protege that he was kind of building up to this position. It was sort of the board kind of pushed him like, this is who we want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that the board had to sort of pull back and go, okay, maybe that was not quite the
right
thing.
We are making a lot of bad decisions here.
Yeah, because ultimately, somebody like Chapek, it was probably really good from a business standpoint.
Absolutely.
But he's not the media-friendly darling that Bob Iger was.
Yeah.
Bob Iger was the guy that when he strolls a red carpet or was at a premiere or was at, you know, was standing hosting D23 or what have you, he was eloquent. He was charming. He was likable. He was affable. He was affable.
Affable.
He was easier for people to accept when it was news that you probably didn't like.
Right. You kind of just were like, okay, we get it.
Yeah. You were okay with it because
it's a business.
Yeah. He presented it in a way that it was easier for you to accept. And I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum, this idea that, you know, the ticket prices for Disneyland were going to go up every year. You know, there was going to be, yes, there was new additions, but they're also taking away the things that we like. Like, mm-hmm. why did FastPass go away? And now it's this Disney Genie.
Genie
and,
Plus.
Yeah. Or... Why are all these things changing? And it's like, well, the world has changed. And with that change comes increases. Like we've seen it at the gas pump. We see it at the freaking grocery store. It doesn't mean that I like it. I don't like inflation. No. I don't like having to pay more. Nope. When you and I first bought our Disney passes, they were $599 per pass.
Yep.
When you and I got married.
No blackout dates.
When you and I got married, we got a 6-day park hopper pass, both of us, for $222. Yeah. Now, you guys are probably thinking like $222
each. A day? No.
No, it was $222 for the both of us mm-hmm. for 6 days. Mm-hmm. Like, that was nuts. And this was May of 2012. Like, that we bought the passes, those tickets in like April or March. So mm-hmm. it was only like a month or two before time. And this was the deal that we got. It's not 2012 anymore.
It is not. It's far from it.
The prices we paid for, we had our 10-year wedding anniversary, which we really wanted to do an episode after that one back in May. And it didn't happen. But like we went and we stayed in the Disneyland Hotel and we did park hopper passes. We were only in the parks for 3 days, 4 days?
Three days.
We only did 3 days in the park. We did 4 nights in the hotel. Mm-hmm. You know, food, all the gifts and all the mm-hmm. stuff that, because we hadn't been since June or July mm-hmm. of the year before, June, I think, of the year before. So it's like, you spend this money and you get this experience, and even with it being underneath Chapek's rule, like you didn't not enjoy the vacation.
No, I still had a magical time. At the end of the visit, I think we looked at it. We did stay at a Disneyland hotel, so that could have changed, like swayed our opinions on things. It was very magical being able to walk out of the hotel, be right in downtown Disney, not feeling like we have to lug everything around, you know, having two kids, you know, that comes with stroller, you know, it comes with change of clothes, snacks, things like that to take every day. So that's and then to buy all of the merch that you do when we say we're not going to, but then we end up doing it anyway, always, including a balloon. Come on, every time. So that's a lot to have to carry from the tram to the parking structure, fold it all up, do it again, get into your car, get out of it, do it again, get up into your hotel room. And that takes a lot. So there was some magic, I think, with the Disneyland Hotel, you know, adding to that experience, which we had never done before other than years ago with the Grand Californian, which was awesome to be able to go out of that park right into California Adventure. So I think there's a little bit more magic there. I wasn't angry about anything. I think the most angry I was when we got home and got COVID.
Yeah, that was pretty much the big one.
It was like, but we knew that. We took those risks. We went worried that we might, you know, get sick because obviously post-pandemic and actually still really in pandemic, you know, nothing changed much. More people are in the parks. Less people are wearing masks. So we knew the risks. We took them. We weren't masking up as much as we should have been, as much as we were the trip before.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't, because the trip before was 2021.
Yeah, it was 2021. Because 2020, we went in January and February. And then March, the parks closed.
Yes.
And they were done like the whole rest of the year. Right. I think
we didn't go back in until June.
Yeah, because it opened back up, I want to say 2021, like early in. And then we waited a couple months because we wanted to see how things
We waited for the
out.
Vaccine. We wanted to be comfortable being able to go.
Yeah, and so then with this year,
we masked up that whole trip.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't get sick. We were fine.
No.
And then we go on our honeymoon, or I mean, not our honeymoon, our anniversary. And sure enough, didn't mask up as much as we should. Yeah. And we got sick.
Yeah. Every single one of us. Yeah. Went through all of us.
Yep.
And then after this last trip, so we just went at the beginning of October for Winnie's birthday. And we got to go do the Oogie Boogie Bash, which we had never done before. And we caught colds after we came back from that one. So it was.
Yeah.
Both Disney trips, we've come back and gotten sick. So yeah. Not exactly ideal. Wasn't COVID the second go around.
Thank goodness.
But it was the nice seasonal cold that goes around every year.
Yeah. Everybody has right now.
Yeah. But I think what's interesting is like when I think back to the previous vacations that we had gone on, even back January and February with Winnie, yeah, we spent less money because it wasn't as expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's not like with these newer vacations, they were less enjoyable because I had to spend more money to still do the vacation.
Right.
Would I like to spend less money and still do the same vacation? Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Absolutely.
I'd like to buy eggs and not have them be three almost times the price of what they used to be.
Right.
I'd love gas to be under $3, but that's not.
We don't live in that world right now.
It doesn't distract from like we had an egg scramble this morning. It wasn't less tasty because I had to spend more to get it.
Right.
I don't not go as far with my car because I paid more for the gas.
But it also, like, think about that. So it still tastes the same. It still tastes good. You still enjoy it, but it doesn't taste better either.
No,
and
for
I
sure.
think that's what people's argument is that, okay, I'm spending more money now. Why am I not getting more? I feel like I'm getting less.
Right.
It's like, but that's not how supply and demand
works. Yeah, it's
and not. I think when you see a price tag, you're like, well, if I'm spending more on this name car as opposed to this cheaper brand of car, I'm definitely going to get my money's worth with this, you know, more expensive car.
Right.
It's like, yeah, because I'm spending more money on it. It's like, yes, but does it still do what that car is going to do? Drive you and get you the places that you need to go?
Well, think about this. Like, last year in my job, I did the same work that I do this year in my job, and I got paid more this year, but I'm doing the same level of work. I'm not doing more work. I'm not putting more effort in and doing more to just because I'm getting paid a little bit more. I look at it as, oh, I'm getting paid more because I've been there long enough that they give me a raise every year, and it's supposed to compete with inflation when it doesn't.
It doesn't.
It's a 3% raise versus a 7% inflation rate. Like, that doesn't balance out at all. So, like, I get where people are frustrated with this, and I get the point that you were saying how you're paying more, so you should get more.
You should feel like you're getting more.
But
we feel like we're getting less because they added on things like Genie Plus, which you have to pay for now. You don't get free photos because if you don't get Genie Plus, you're not going to get all those free photos that the Photoshop people take.
Yeah.
Or I forget what their photo pass people take.
Yeah.
What else did they add on other than Genie Plus?
Well, you think about the
parking is not included in some of your passes anymore. We're not pass holders though. We haven't been since pandemic. Once they went out, we just let them lapse, and then we did not renew because we were not comfortable with going yet. So we're like, what are we going to spend money for when we're probably not going to go like half of the year anyway?
Yeah. Instead of going 5 and 6 times a year, we'll go once, maybe twice.
Right. So we have not renewed the passes. Even with this new go around, we talked about it. So now we had this discussion. Are we angry with JPEG and we don't want to be annual pass holders, or are we trying to be smarter financially and not be annual pass holders? And that's where we sit. Yeah, I don't like some of the things that JPEG did, but he is not the reason that we did not become annual pass holders.
Yeah.
We realized, okay, we're grownups. We have 2 kids. We have a bigger house now. Things cost a lot more. Do we really want to break the bank going to Disney 6 times a year?
Right.
And
that becomes the only vacation that we're able to take. Whereas the last couple of years, like, we've gone to Monterey, like, we've gone to San Francisco, like, we've gone to LA just to go to LA, not because we're going to Disney, but just to go to LA.
We used to go to New York often, as well as still go to the parks every other month. You know, we'd have that one New York trip and then still be going to, we'd go to Disney like right before we would fly out to New York. We were silly.
Yeah.
Now looking back, we were very financially young, I would say. Yeah. So if you're listening to this and you're young in your finances, really think about what is the smart thing to do. For us, we will not change anything though.
We might have
made the best decisions. We might have maxed out a lot of credit cards doing a lot of traveling, but the memories are there and they'll never go away. And I would not take that back.
No, not at all. Because, you know, eventually we were able to pay down and pay off all those, the debt and the credit cards and all that. But like we have the pictures and the memories and the swag and merch and all that other stuff. And the episodes that we were able to come back and talk about things and the experiences.
A catalog to look back on.
And I think sometimes that's what people miss too. Like this concept of, well, I'm not getting more bang for my buck, but it's like, but you are, because now you have, you know, you've got Star Wars Land. You've got these other things available that you really didn't have before. And I think for some people, they sort of forget that these things were added. Like it's almost like we take it for granted because, well, now it's there, but the prices are still going up. And you're like, you're right. That's still true. Like the prices are still going up, but this wasn't a one and done. It's not like they just built a, what was it, 14 acre expansion to the park. Yeah. And then one price increase is going to completely take care of it. And let's be honest, like at the end of the day, they're a business and they lost a ton of money during the pandemic. And so, yeah, these price increases, we kind of knew it was coming because they were going to have to make up for essentially a year that those parks were closed. And not just Disneyland, but Disney World and Euro Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah, Disney World was closed for like 6 days. But, you know, you've got these closures at different parks. You had movies, tentpole movies that were pushed back because you weren't going to be able to release it in theater. You had movies that were supposed to be a big cinematic release that ended up being exclusively Disney Plus because that was the only medium that you had. And luckily for them that they had released Disney Plus 2 years prior, a year prior to the pandemic. I mean, luckily for all of us, because we could sit around and watch all the movies that we didn't have on VHS or DVD. But I think that's where I try to look at it from more of a business standpoint and like try to understand like, okay, this was the these were the reasons they did the things that they did. And while I might not enjoy it or agree with it, I can't change it. Like if I want to go to Disney, this is the cost.
Yep.
If I want to buy a new car, this is the cost.
Exactly. And I mean, we didn't go as often.
Yeah.
We would have went every couple of months, but we didn't. We went once in 2021. We lucked out and got to go twice this year.
Yeah.
But that's it. We're not going back for the holiday season. We didn't get annual passes again. I mean, they sold out within 36 hours. When I tried to go on, I was in an hour long wait. It says at this point, your wait is over an hour. I was like, okay, I'll just leave it open just in case. And maybe that'll make my decision. And then I forgot about it and was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
And then next day, still forgot about it. And turns out, oh, annual passes are gone again. But look at that. They're sold out again. People are still going because the crowds are nuts. Yeah. Every time we've gone, it has gotten busier and busier. Halloween was crazy busy.
Yeah.
The Oogie Boogie Bash was awesome, though. They did. I feel like they capped that number perfectly.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
For the amount of guests that they let in for those extra hour events. I don't know what you would call those.
After hour events.
It's good. You don't go and feel like you are jam packed with a lot of people, because when you go into Disneyland, there people are everywhere. Like you don't have a lot of breathing room. You don't have a lot of room to just like make quick decisions. Like there, it's just seas of people. It is going back to. It does feel like right before pandemic when it was getting busier and busier and busier every year.
Yeah,
and I feel like we are right back to that. And what people are angry about now is that, well, then why do we still have park reservations? Why do we still have these limits on when we can go into the other park if we are park hopping? Which I do not like that rule at all. It's like if I have a park hopper, know where my reservation is. And if I have to start somewhere, cool, but let me go into the other park at any time.
Yeah.
If I go in and decide, oh, crap, I want to go get a Ronto wrap instead of something in California, I want to go there 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to wait till 1 o'clock to have to go across the park. There's things like that where it's like, there's some things that are just not helping at all. I get it that they're like, oh, but we get to see for health and safety reasons, like where people are, if they've checked into their reservations and how many people actually came into the park. It's like, you know how many people are coming to the park because you have a reservation system in place. And I don't care about that. I'm not angry at the reservation system. If you have to make it that way, cool. As long as you give people enough time to cancel them or to reserve them, that's cool.
Yeah.
But that park hopper time, I think, is just so pointless.
Well, it kind of eliminates the value of the park hopper exactly. when you can't go back and forth at any point where you are limited to, okay, from 1 o'clock. And then think about two, California Adventure is open less time than Disneyland Park.
Yeah.
So if you start your day in Disneyland and then yeah. you go to California Adventure, you're limited in the amount of time you can go to California Adventure, even more so than if you were going to try to spend all day there.
Exactly.
So I think,
is it worth it, you know, to spend the crazy excess amount of money on a park hopper pass?
Yeah, because it is a pretty significant uptick versus a standard ticket, which begs the question, does it make more sense to only do one pass per day as opposed to buying a park hopper? Or do you do like one day a park hopper and then the other 2 days it'd be like one park, one park?
One and one, which even then you're not going to, when you do those combo passes, like what we do is we go through Target usually because we have a Target Red Card and we can save 5% on them. That is the best deal that I have seen so far. And that's the, you know, if you want to get any sort of money off of your Disneyland ticket, that is the best way to do it. So when you do that, they only have those 2-day passes, 3-day passes, like they're not going to give you a single day and it's not going to feel like a discount anymore. Because once you're buying 1 day ticket and then you're like, oh, but now I want to buy a 2-day ticket. It's like, well, now it's like cancels each other out.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not a deal really. You kind of have to go all in or just do single days every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. So I think, you know, when everything that we've kind of talked about here, this idea of like the price increase, value versus experience. Knowing this now, do you feel, because we did talk, we did debate getting the annual pass again. Do you feel like you're relieved that we didn't get the annual pass again? Because it does open up the possibility of going to some of the other parks. Like, we're fortunate living in America that we have two domestic parks
right
here in our country. Whereas in most other places, you have to travel to a completely different country right. to be able to go to another park. Do you feel like it opens up the possibility of going to another park? Or do you feel like with added airfare and everything else that comes along with it, that seems even more overwhelming than just a, hey, I can drive 4 hours down to LA and I'm good.
Oh, it's to travel by plane is always going to be more overwhelming. I mean, that might just be a me thing because other people are like, I can fly, you know, get on a, catch a plane and go. No big deal for me. I have two kids I have to worry about. I have to worry about my own anxiety on yeah. flights and things like that. And just the cost alone and traveling with all of the luggage that, you know, four people require, like just kids alone. Like you think they're tiny. They don't have a lot. They do.
Yeah.
You have to like worry about like extra outfits because accidents happen and all that stuff that people who don't have kids don't think about.
Yeah, we didn't before we had
kids. All of the extra things like, am I gonna rent a stroller there? Am I gonna have a car seat there? All of that stuff when I rent a car or when we get picked up. So I think it's, I will always prefer just being able to drive to Southern California and go. We can get there when we want to get there. We can, you know, take as much stuff as we can fit into our car, not having to worry about checked luggage. The only thing I'm relieved about not getting annual passes is that it was going to be around $4,000 for us to just buy the 4 passes for us. So that is a lot of money when you think about it. But now we are looking, that would be us being able to go most of the year. There's blockouts for sure, but we weren't going on those blockout days anyway.
No,
we aren't going on those busy weekends. We aren't going during Christmas time. Like around the holidays, we're not going anyway. So the blockouts aren't what, you know, deter us from going. So the amount of days we can go for $4,000 is actually pretty beneficial still. Whereas now we're thinking of possibly making a Disney World trip next year. We're looking into it. It's easily going to be $5,000 to go just to Disney World for, what'd we say, 5 or 6 days?
Yeah, I think so.
And then we also need to include airfare,
hotel,
and everything. So we're going to probably spend at the least $5,000, probably more because you have food and merch that you're going to add on to that and experiences that we didn't think we were going to want to do. But once you're there, you're going to want to do them.
Yeah.
And that's just one trip to Disney World. And then we probably can't go to Disneyland again this year
or next year. Well, and like I did a quick calculation. So like if you look at, you know, if it's $1,000 for one pass, right? Because you're looking at just the one pass.
$10.99.
Yeah. So, like $1,100.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at like $1,100, say like back in the day when we used to go like 4 or 5, sometimes 6 times a year. And usually it was like three days
each time
at a time. So if you go 4 times at 3 days, that's 12 times in a year.
And like, here comes Winnie.
Yeah, she's on her way. That's only like $91.60 like per day that you're paying to go.
That you're going. Yeah, you're not going to get a Disney day for $91 anymore.
Yeah. So, I mean, like when you weigh it out in that regard, like it's a very different expense versus when it's like what you're paying, you know, what you're, ooh, hi, Win. What you're paying when it comes to like a commitment to like.
Do you want
to
say hi?
No, on the microphone.
Say hi.
Hi.
What's your name?
Brian.
Yeah, she tells everybody her name is Baby Long Legs. What's your other name? What's your other name, babe?
Winnie.
There you go. Good job.
Okay. Bye, Winnie.
And she's off to share Oreos with her brother.
How sweet of her.
Yeah. So that's the, I think that's the thing that for me, I kept trying to weigh out is like, we can spend all this money on annual passes and keep going back to the park that we know, we love, we enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But I am kind of at that age where it's like, I want to build new memories and have new experiences. So like and I haven't been to Disney World since I was like 10. I'm not going to say how many years that's been.
I will. No.
I know she will. It's 30. Okay. It's been 30 years. And then for you, you've never gone.
I've never been to Disney World. I want to go. I want to see this big magical place that people love. So.
And people always like to compare it to Disneyland. So.
And I'm like, it's its own thing, man.
Yeah. It's its own thing.
I'm hoping I go and it's just its own thing. I don't.
It's not a compare contrast.
I don't want it. Yeah. I want them to be their own places because. Disneyland is always going to, you know, have our hearts because it's our home park. Like,
yeah.
I would assume, like, I would think Floridians would think that Disney World is the best, even though most of them actually prefer Disneyland that do travel. It's very strange. But I don't know. I just want to go and be able to experience just like I want to go to the Tokyo parks and I want to go to the Paris parks and the Shanghai park. And it's,
if you had to rank the foreign parks, obviously Disney World would be the first one you'd want to go to now. Yeah. But what would be your next one after Disney World? For foreign, what would be your top one to go
to? Oh, Tokyo.
Tokyo, and then?
Either Shanghai or Paris.
Paris, and then Hong Kong at the bottom. Yeah, I'm probably the same way. I think if Tokyo is my first pick, I think Paris is my second one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shanghai, and then Hong Kong. Hong Kong serves Pepsi. That's the one I don't feel like I'll ever need to go to. Because it's technically it's a private owned.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so they can serve whatever they want. So it is the only Disney theme park in the world that serves Pepsi products. So I'll go ahead and give them a miss.
I think I'll be very sad when the day that Pepsi comes in with a better offer for Disney and Disney's like, we like money.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, nope, Disney, you did it.
Yeah, you broke
that was it.
You broke my heart.
That was the straw.
That's like when all the movie theaters in town switched, when Regal switched from Coke to Pepsi.
Awful.
And now the one privately owned theater over in Clovis is the only one that serves Coke.
Oh.
The Sierra Vista.
And we never go there.
And we never go there. So far. But with that one, they used to be the only movie theater that served Pepsi.
And now it's
Coke
swapped.
Came in with a better offer. They went to Coke. And then a year later, all the other theaters went to Pepsi.
Yeah, Regal went Pepsi.
I think Maya is the only other one that does Coke. It's
because
they have a freestyle.
Yeah.
So it's
these little privately owned ones that are still Coke, but the chains are like, Pepsi gives us a better deal.
Yeah, that's what it was. They came in. Ah, so annoying.
Such a bummer.
Yeah, because I mean, there's certain things where it's like you expect it.
The only good thing that happened to Pepsi was Britney Spears. And that was it.
That's true. Even though your Britney Spears poster, I covered up the Pepsi can with a Monster can. So that's how I roll.
Can't wait to put that back up in the garage.
Yep. But okay, so I think all in. To kind of put a tight little bow on the Bob Iger news. This is a good thing.
It's a good thing. I mean, we could hope. I don't know how much will change in 2 years. Don't expect decrease in prices.
No.
Like that would be really, I don't want to be mean. So that would be silly of you to think that the prices will go down because prices aren't going to go down for other things either.
No.
Like we are post-pandemic. I guess, I don't know. Are we still pandemic? Like, what is right now considered?
No, I would say
still
post-pandemic? I would say post, because it's nowhere near what it was.
Yeah, what it was. I mean, I'm sure our numbers are going to go back up because the season.
Holidays, yeah.
Holidays, it's cold. All of that stuff is going around. But a lot of people are vaccinated and a lot of people have had it. So
yeah.
It has, we have, what is that? immunities in some way another.
Yeah, the herd immunity type thing. Oh, yeah. We've got a friend that he's gotten it like two or three times and he gets like a headache for a day and then he's fine after it.
And
so
I'm
it's like
I don't ever want to get it ever again.
Yeah, once was enough.
I don't want the flu, man. Like,
I
don't
want,
a
cold.
The flu.
I don't want to be sick.
But yeah, prices aren't going to go down at the parks. We talked about this the other day and it wasn't about Disney. It was just about life in general. I think it was about gas prices. And grocery prices and just the cost of like Christmas gifts and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had asked you, I'm like, is this just what it is now?
Yeah, is
like,
this life?
Is this life now? Is this where our prices are and we will never go back down? I mean, I know we won't go back to where we were because that would be crazy. Like, we would all be freaking balling if we did. But it is. Like, look back to the 50s when Disneyland opened and there was dollar tickets to get into the park. Like, that is crazy. Yeah. There was a time when, like, child admission tickets were like $7 to go. Like, that is freaking nuts.
Yeah.
And can you imagine getting into Disneyland? Like, oh, the kids are only $25. Like, yeah, we're going to go. That's like, you can't even go and see a circus in your town for that price anymore. Yeah. You can't go see a crazy show that's, you know, coming to you for less than $50 now.
I mean, we just paid how much for Blink-182 tickets?
Gosh,
like,
we're
this
not going to say.
No, that's what I'm saying. Right? Yeah. We're going to have to bring oxygen tanks. We're going to be so high up in the air. But I think that's the thing is like, yeah, it sucks. And, you know, I understand that for some people, like, they get priced out.
Yeah.
But Chapek had kind of said that was like the goal was that like they wanted to keep going until the annual pass almost didn't seem like a viable option because
it
was going to be too
expensive. You guys are still going.
Yeah.
Well, I can say we're still going. Pass holders are still buying and renewing passes. Like the fact that they closed it in 36 hours, they got what they wanted
in 36 hours.
So all of these people that are complaining and saying like, well, it's not as magical as it was. It's like, it obviously is.
Oh, you wouldn't spend
Why
money.
Are people still spending their money to go?
Yeah.
Like it's just one of those like love hate relationships, I guess. Like you love it so much, you hate what they're doing to
or it's
you.
It's like fear of missing out. Like you don't want to not have the access. And then as new things come out and new popcorn buckets and new merch and whatever, like you still want to be the one to be there to have it. Cause it is like I said, FOMO, like fear of missing out. And I get it because we were very much those people. Yep. I just think after having two kids and buying a bigger house, like we were kind of like, hey, we don't.
There are other things.
Yeah, it's not that we can't spend the money on those things because we can, but it's like I'd rather spend it on something else.
We like to take other trips. There's other things that come along.
I want to upgrade some gear. Like there's always other things. There's another West Ham kit that comes out every season. Like there's other things.
You
I
would
money
like
on
to freaking go to London one day. Like these are things that we want to do. You
know? It's been a long time since I've been stabbed. So like I could definitely.
Okay, they can make the joke of it's been a long time since they've been shot. Yeah, like there's a freaking shooting every day.
Oh my God. But I think that's the thing is like the like being able to make trips to the other Disney parks, being able to go to like Ireland or England or Spain or Italy, like there's other places we want to go. So I think it's just the priority shift. And that's not to like crap on anybody that like if this is still your priority and that's your like happy place and the only place you want to go, then do it. But I think to your point, like do it, but also recognize that you're part of the problem you're complaining about.
Don't go if you're bitter. That's what makes me angry is that these people that complain, and they're mostly influencers, they're complaining on, okay, I'm going to get back into my influencers are the reason we're in this mess to begin with. But the influencers are the ones that are complaining the most. But they're the ones that go the most and do the most Disney things. They are going to every Disney movie still. They are or Disney, Star Wars, Marvel. They are going on cruises. Yeah. They are going to Aulani. They are going to the international parks. More than just the average Joe is doing.
And when they do that, they make it seem more attractive. So other people want to do the thing they're doing.
Exactly. But they're still doing it. And they will highlight some of the best parts of their trip. But then when random news topics come out, they will complain about it. It's like, And yes, you don't have to like absolutely everything. I'm not saying that. You should be able to complain and you should have your opinions on every aspect of it. But why are you putting it in everybody else's faces still? Like it's something that you should and need to have if you're so upset about it. If you're upset, please stop going as I'm not saying stop going.
Yeah.
Stop going as much as you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know who you are.
Right.
I doubt any of you are listening to this podcast because you probably got your own.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You're competing. But we've been at this for 7 years.
And so get nothing from it still. Right. Everybody else has like moved on up and we're like, well, we get paid to go to Disney.
Right. Yeah.
We never got there.
We're 7 years in. This is a 349th episode. So guess what? We're old school at this point. So last question when it comes to the whole Bob Iger thing. Who would you think would be the next CEO? Like, who do you think? Do you think they're going to go a business person? Do you think they're going to pull somebody from like Marvel or Star Wars? Do you think they'll pull somebody from like the Pixar group?
I honestly have no idea. I'm not a business analyst in any way. So I wouldn't know which direction it would go. But I do think we need somebody similar to Bob Iger.
Toes the line between.
Yeah, I think they need to know, they do need to know business, but they still need to have like creativity. Like they have to know the creative side of Disney. Like what's going to be beneficial for the parks going on from here. Not just the parks, for the whole company.
Would you see, he put out a blast to all employees that were like, bring me your best 10-page script. And I want drop them off at the headquarters or whatever, fifth floor headquarters by 1 a.m.
Wow.
And that was to everybody. Like everybody brings in your best 10 pages that you have for a script.
Damn.
And he wants to, they're going to review them.
That's amazing.
Everybody. And I was like, dude, that to me, like that's what you need.
So we need somebody like that. But who is that person? Yeah. I don't know. Like who in the company is doing that?
That
right
can
now?
Foster that type of creativity. Because you look at like the recent appointments of like James Gunn to like DC, where he's basically going to be like the Kevin Feige at DC. I think that's what you need. You need creative
passionate
personalities,
people.
Passionate people, perfect word, to be able to take on these roles because they're going to have the vision that somebody that only comes at it from a business standpoint
Which
is going to miss.
Chapek was. He was very much a numbers guy and that's all he cared about.
Yeah.
He was doing what he had to do. You know,
or
what he was probably told to do because all the people around him who are making the money off of this company, you're going to want to make them happy. So you stay in this role. But we are in the time where society can voice their opinion. And luckily,
things
get done because of it. And that is both good and bad because depending on what what you agree with or don't agree with, you should never go for somebody's livelihood. Like this was someone's job. And the way people talked about Chapek, like, oh, fire him, fire him, fire him. It's like, damn, like we are so just cutthroat about everything. Yeah. You did one thing I don't like. You're out of here. I don't want you to make a living anymore. It's like, he still has like, you know, still needs to make a living. And yes, I'm sure he can go off. He's a businessman with a lot of money. He can go and find something better than any of us will ever do, but it's still, that's harsh to me. I think when you're coming for somebody to be like, gosh, I hate him. I hope he dies. Like things like that. It's like, come on, rein it in. You don't have to be that aggressive about absolutely everything.
and for like somebody you don't really know, it's just, you know them from this one thing. And I think a lot of times it's not even like they're doing like the deep dive research. It's just like, oh, well, I saw somebody else hated him, so I'm going to hate him too. You know?
Or I don't like that prices are up, so I hate him. It's like, yeah, they were going to go up anyway. They already were. Let's really take a step back. What don't you really like?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wait, nothing, because you're still going and you're still spending the money on those things. Yeah. You're still buying Genie Plus. Oh, that's a thing too. You're angry about Genie Plus? Don't freaking buy it.
Yeah.
Don't buy it, guys.
Yeah.
Why are you still buying it?
I mean, that we did. We did for both of our trips. We got that. We paid the extra money to
it works.
Yeah, because it works. We paid the extra money to go on Rise of Resistance and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we fed into it. But I think that's the thing is like people feed into it and complain about it. And it's tough because I understand like you should still be able to voice your criticism of something.
Yeah.
We do on the show. But I also think that they're like you have said, like there has to be this self-recognition where you go, okay, but am I part of the problem? Like if I buy this thing, am I just contributing to it? Or do I have to understand it's a necessary evil? Like part of going to the park now to be able to go on as many rides as possible and plan your day accordingly. Mm-hmm. This is part of that planning tool. And like, yeah, I didn't used to have to pay for it, but now I do. Mm-hmm. And if I want to have a similar experience or the best possible experience I can have, this is the means to that end.
And here's the thing. You can still go to the parks and have a magical time without getting Genie Plus. You can. You can still have that experience that you used to have as long as your mindset is in the right place. But if you're going and you're already upset about absolutely everything, I'm upset about how much travel costs. I'm upset about the ticket pricing. I'm upset about the price gouging on these extra things like Genie Plus. And now I'm paying for parking. And now the food costs more. And I'm angry that there's more people here. When you go to the parks with that mindset, you're going to be bitter and it's not going to be magical for you. And that is it's a you problem. That's a personal problem. So what we try to do is like, we know these things are going to be different. It's not going to be that same experience as we had 10 years ago because we used to go to the parks and there was slow days. Slow days don't exist anymore. No, don't expect to find a time when it is slow. It is not. That is not a thing. If you're lucky, maybe January, February. Maybe.
But even then, when we went pre-pandemic, it was still busy.
It was still busy, yeah.
Still busy. And it was cold. It was cold and still busy.
Cold and busy. Oh, what do you know? Winter's cold.
We had 1 year that we went on June 30th, and it was like a light drizzle that day, and the park was empty. Like, you have more family members than there are people that were in the park that day. It was just a lucky day. Like, you could take castle pictures all day because there was nobody there.
You're not going to get that anymore.
But yeah, that, I mean,
it's not going to happen because with the pricing on individual days to where, oh, well, these are the cheaper days to go now because they're cheaper. That's when everybody is going to go.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, you're still going to have the vacation time, which from schools and, you know, for holidays and whatnot. So yes, that will always be busier.
Yeah.
But when people see that they could spend a little less for certain days, they are definitely going to take up those days, which then those reservations are going to go faster and they are not going to be slow days anymore. So it's kind of just a vicious cycle.
Yeah. So I want to finish out. We're at 40, almost 47 minutes here. Let's talk about Encanto live at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So that was a non-Disneyland, but still Disney thing that we did recently.
Right.
We had gone a couple of years ago when they did Nightmare Before Christmas. And we took Remy when he was about Winnie's age. Mm-hmm. And then this time we got to take Winnie and Remy to be able to go see Encanto live at the Hollywood Bowl, which for me, I thought it was amazing. I was surprised that so soon after the movie came out that it was one that went to Hollywood Bowl, but I was glad that it did because I thought the cinematic element to it, the way that, you know, they do the lights on the stage, the graphics that are done on the arch of the Hollywood Bowl itself. I liked all of that. I thought that was really well done. I won't get into my critique first, but for you, like, what were some of the things you really enjoyed about it?
I think overall it was a great experience. We enjoyed the Nightmare Before Christmas one. Ever since that, we left that and we said, oh, we should do more of these. Like, these are awesome. You get to see what an orchestra play the music that everybody, the whole world loved Encanto. Like, that was what number one for the longest time, the whole soundtrack. The movie was number one for a long time. And it was like the most streamed thing.
Yeah.
Like, not just on Disney Plus, but just like the most streamed thing on any of the networks. So it was such a hit that we knew
cultural
we wanted.
Phenomenon.
Yeah, we knew we wanted anything Encanto we were going to try to go. This popped up randomly on social media, as it does. Hello, influenced.
Yeah.
And it was like live at the Hollywood Bowl. I think like a month or two before it was going to go on. I had no idea about it, but I guess that's how they get the word out now. So we're like, let's just go. It popped up and I was like, hey, Encanto's going to be at Hollywood Bowl. Showing him my phone. He's like, cool, let's do it. We got tickets right then. There wasn't even a question of if we were going to do it. We're just like, we loved it. That's how much we loved it. We're like, let's just do it. Usually you have to kind of like think things through, like, do we have the finances for this? But when it's something like that, or now I think when you want something, you have to just get it
in
today's economy because things sell out so fast, especially like concerts and special shows like this. So we're definitely pumped for that. The Hollywood Bowl is beautiful.
Yeah.
Just the area. We were in that same area just a couple, like a month or two before we went to Griffith Observatory.
Yeah.
And you get to, you know, drive past Hollywood Bowl to get up to Griffith Observatory. And it's a fun area to be in when you're in LA, because there are obviously so many iconic things in LA, but these are some staples. Like if you ever get a chance to see a show, go to the Hollywood Bowl for sure. But I think my highlights, other than just the cast itself, was Lin-Manuel Miranda opened the show. I'm just bummed that he didn't perform anything. And I know he wasn't a singer or a cast, you know, part of the cast. He just wrote the music. But I'm like, how cool would it be if he got to like stand in for somebody who was not there?
Yeah, i.e. Bruno, because John Leguizamo was not there.
I know, so that was a
I had my phone ready to video because I assumed Lin-Manuel was going to step up to do Bruno's part, and he did not. So I loved it. I thought it was beautiful, as I said. My one criticism was the for the performance itself, the dancers were amazing, and you could tell it was well choreographed. Well choreographed. But I thought that the vocal performances, there were some technical difficulties with microphones.
For sure.
With feedback, some of the mics were just completely cutting out. And then it sounded like some of the vocalists were either just getting over a cold or were very nervous.
Yeah.
And so some of the performances were not quite soundtrack standard. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Or like studio standard. I imagine they'll probably go in and overdub, or because it was a Friday and Saturday performance, we saw the Friday performance, they'll probably take the best of each one.
Yep.
Because this is, as Lin-Manuel was there to announce, they are going to air it on Disney Plus. So it'll actually
for the holiday.
For the holiday, you'll be able to watch what we saw in person live at the Hollywood Bowl, and it'll be the performances with like Stephanie Beatrice at all. So yeah, I can't say I highly would recommend it, because you can't go. It's already over.
Can't go.
Once it's out on Disney Plus, if you were not one of the fortunate ones like us to be able to see it, I highly recommend watching it once it pops up.
But for future, like if these things pop up, definitely go to them. They're so fun. They're worth it. I know they do a lot of Star Wars nights, you know, where they have the orchestra played. I think we need to go to one of those.
I would love to because
that would be awesome. Or Williams night.
Yeah. You know? And I'm sure we've talked about this on a way earlier episode, but one of the first like dates Brittany and I ever went on was she had tickets to Star Wars in concert. I was on tour. We had like barely started dating and she called me from her seat and left her phone on, like just in her lap, so I could, and like she muted, you know, like I was muted, so that way, like, so I, you know,
you weren't interrupting me.
I was interrupting you or like background noise, but she sat there and I got to listen to the entire concert over the phone. It was really, really epic. So I knew at that point, I was like, oh yeah, it's the one for me. So I think it would be,
that's how I got him, guys.
That's right. That's actually hook, line and sinker. I think that would have a nice little parallel
to
early days for us.
To a John Williams night or Star Wars in concert. But really, if they, when they bring back, I imagine Little Mermaid is around the corner.
Yeah.
They're probably going to do something Little Mermaid-esque, or anytime an anniversary rolls around for these big movies, they tend to put them in the Hollywood Bowl. So I think we will try our best to see more of them, because it was a fun experience. And we stayed in a hotel that was walking distance, so that was a plus. So if you are going to stay in town, definitely get a hotel that is around the Hollywood Bowl, because parking sucks in the Hollywood Bowl. So you might as well park at your hotel, which you're gonna pay for anyway.
Yeah.
And then walk up, which it's not a far walk if you're staying at one of those close hotels.
And we got to eat. We got pizza that night delivered from, I can't remember the name of the pizza shop. It was like Mama's and Papa's Best Pizza or something like that.
Yeah, it was so random.
And then we got to eat at Mel's drive-in the next day and walk
the diner. Yeah.
Yeah, we got to walk the Hollywood Walk of Fame with the kids. And they'd never done that before. Got to take pictures in front of Walt.
I think Remy did.
Mickey
we
Mouse.
Have pictures of Remy when he's a tiny baby.
Yeah,
and he's like near Walt Disney's star. But we got to take both of the kids and they got to have that experience. It's fun. You know, it's one of those things where the touristy thing that you do.
Yeah.
And it's worth it if you've never done it before.
Yeah.
But we've done it multiple times, so I don't know how often we will go back to do that.
That part of it. No, for sure, for sure.
But Hollywood Bowl or Griffith Observatory, or we haven't done the LA Zoo, and that's one thing I want to do.
Do that,
I don't know. I don't think it's that big, but I still love zoos.
Yeah.
So
Might as well.
One experience I'd like to do.
Nice. I like it. I think that's probably all we got time for today. Was there anything else you wanted to throw out there?
Well, there's a lot of things we need to talk about, but we'll have to save that for a year from now.
Got to talk about Bruno. Yeah, hopefully we'll get to jump back into this sooner rather than later. Hopefully it isn't another year until we give you guys an episode, but
it will be.
Right. But we appreciate all you guys jumping on, and hopefully this was a fun jump back into the saddle for you as much as it was for us. Where can they find you on the social media?
I think I'm at Brit in Neverland on everything.
And that's all of them.
I think so. I don't really do anything other than Instagram. And even with that,
no,
I don't do that much often either.
So if you want to follow my West Ham stuff, my Liam Bright ones have kind of turned more into like West Ham. If you want to follow the actual narrator stuff that I do, you can follow me just at Liam DeCosimo. Or just follow the show at Hilt Radio, H-Y-L-T Radio.
Oh, we don't post there at all.
We don't. Someday we'll get back into it.
One day, yeah.
Oh, we didn't talk about the lawsuit.
What lawsuit?
The friggin' copyright lawsuit we went through.
We
yeah.
got a lawsuit.
All right, that'll be an episode for another day, but that was definitely a reason why we didn't do episodes for a while. But yeah, we got slapped with a copyright lawsuit. So we'll talk about that one on another episode because I don't know how much we actually want to say about that one. But
just don't take pictures off of the internet if you don't know the source, I guess.
Even if you know the source, if it's not you.
If it's not you, don't use it.
Yeah, don't
in your stuff that you're not making money off of. It's so dumb.
Yeah, that was a fun lesson to learn. Nice. Well, that's all for this episode. Thanks again. And as always, try to make the world a better place.
Need even more Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars in your life? Be sure to visit our website at HiltRadio.com for more magic like our blogs, videos, merch, and access to our archive of episodes. That's HYLTRadio.com. See you real soon.